Yes, time to shine on this Friday morning. We've reached the end of another week as we launch into another weekend of sport that includes the Everest horse racing this weekend. Of course, welcome to Breakfast with Vossie on 1170 SEN in Sydney, the SEN track stations on the Central Coast, the Illawarra, through 90.3 FM in Griffith, and to those listening right across the country on the SEN app. Hope you're okay. We have had a bit of weather. Wild storms, as reported in the news there. Hailstones in different parts of Sydney. It was widespread across the eastern seaboard. Let us know how you bared last night. The McDonald Jones open line, 1300 01 1170. And you can text 0457 736 736. We're here for Brighton's Lawyers, the workers' compensation experts, protecting your future. You can call Brighton's Lawyers on 1800 848 848. Their website is brightons.com.au. And we're here for 4D Doors, Garage Doors Redefined. A great range of product. They are the experts, and the website is 4ddoors.com.au. And thank you to everyone who is part of our podcast family. And a reminder, you can download our weekend edition of Breakfast with Vossie tomorrow morning. Search for Breakfast with Vossie on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other podcast platform, and subscribe so you don't miss a thing. We always put a range of podcasts up through the course of the morning and the full show to individual interviews. Alrighty, what is making news this morning? Well, it is sad news that we start the program with. It was, in fact, right on 9 o'clock that I first got word of the passing of Norm Provan, St George Dragons Rugby League and Australian sport legend, aged 89. He played 256 games for the St George Dragons, played in 10 of the 11 premierships between 56 and 66, four of them as captain coach in an Australian Rugby League record. Will never be beaten. He featured in 18 tests for Australia, 20 games for New South Wales. He was finally added to the the NRL Immortals in 2018, but that call had been going for a long, long time. He's also immortalised, of course, in bronze as part of the NRL Grand Final Trophy alongside his great mate Arthur Summons from a photograph captured at the SCG Mud, 1963 Grand Final. How good that we have that image portrayed on the trophy. Here's just a little of Norm Provan speaking a few years ago about his mate, Arthur Summons, the background to that famous photograph and the bond the two shared.
Arthur Summons, of course, was always a stout enemy on the field. Off the field, we were good friends. And after that game, the captains usually swap jumpers, and I stripped off my jumper to give to Arthur, and Arthur didn't want to, he wanted to keep his. So that's how that photograph shows me with no jumper on, just my shoulder pads, and Arthur still got his on. And that's when Mr. O'Grady took the photograph. And he's been there all the time at any of those functions. He's never ever once said anything about losing. You know, he's been a great companion.
A great companion. What a rivalry, but what respect. And here is a little more of Norm Provan, this time alongside Arthur Summons, in conversation a few years ago, with that classic sense of humour shining through, as it always did.
You remember the 1963 Grand Final on the Sydney Cricket Ground?
No more than any other.
No, you won that many years.
Yeah, that was courtesy of Fox League. The two of them, look, feel so lucky to have seen the two going back at big events for the rugby league. I mean, imagine how the Sharks players are feeling today too, that had Norm Provan there as well on stage. There's just so many moments that you can draw on that this fella, I mean, great player, just amazing record, but greatness went with him anywhere that he turned up. You know, you felt it. He had an aura. You were there near this man whenever he was put on stage or in any sort of environment, but always the same Norm Proven. Jeff Armstrong, author of The Spirit of the Red V, who we've had on this program before, not so long ago, just a few weeks ago, in fact, was on Matt White's show yesterday after the news came through. Here's a little of what Jeff had to say.
I think the fact that Norm Proven was able to... He actually captain coached the side from 62 to 65, and then Ian Walsh captain coached the side in 66. But for Norm Proven to win those four competitions, having followed up what Ken Carney had done, is an amazing achievement. And the fact is, no one else can do it. I mean, we're in a situation now where if a team wins two comps in a row, you know, Trent Robertson, when he won two comps at the Roosters, he was a genius. And Norm Proven won four following on from Ken Carney. It's just a phenomenal achievement. I can't remember anyone saying a bad word about him as a player or as a rugby league statesman. And that's the thing about Norm. Every other footballer seems to have been flawed in some way, but not Norm. He carried himself so brilliantly for so long, and the game is so much better for everything that Norm Proven contributed to it.
Such great words from Jeff Armstrong yesterday. Some of Norm Proven's rugby league life. After 7 o'clock, leading rugby league historian David Middleton will be coming on the program. We will crunch the numbers. We'll talk numbers about Norm Proven's career, a tribute to Norm, and happy to share your memories of Norm Proven. Look, it can be all sorts of things. If you've had any, if you are lucky enough to meet Norm, it may be that you shopped at his electrical store. Remember that? Norm Proven? I mean, there was this icon. There was this giant in the retail sector as well, as player, as coach, and the words that Jeff Armstrong used there, statesman. He really was a rugby league statesman, Norm Proven. We pay tribute to him this morning. Our McDonald Jones open line, 1300 01 1170, and you can text 0457 736 736. Now, other rugby league news. Josh Hodgson could be on his way to the West Tigers next season. Hodgson has a year left to run at the Raiders, but wants a longer deal, which Canberra says it can't offer. They've got Tom Starling waiting in the wings. The Raiders have given him permission to move to the Tigers next year if a deal can be struck between the two clubs for an early release. And that's all to do with how much money, if any, Canberra would contribute to the contract for the Tigers to take Hodgson off the Raiders' hands. The Telegraph reporting Raiders coach Ricky Stewart and Tigers coach Michael Maguire have spoken in depth about Hodgson's possible move to Concord. If you're a Tigers or Raiders fan, let me know what you think. If you're a Raiders fan, losing Josh Hodgson, is it time to go your separate ways? And for the Tigers, is that one area you believe will shore up and make the side better and a better frame to be a contender? Let me know, 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736. Peter Bedell and Brent Reed reporting in the Telegraph that the Rabbitohs inserted an anti-poaching clause in Wayne Bennett's contract, precluding the supercoach poaching South's employees, including players, beyond the expiry of his contract on November 1. The news comes amid revelations that Cody Walker and Latrell Mitchell could be on the Dolphins' hit list as a package deal. Bennett insists he has no interest in decimating the Rabbitohs club, but player agents are reported to be bombarding the Dolphins coach in waiting with options. Now, that's fine to have that in the clause to say Wayne Bennett's not allowed to poach. But what if Latrell Mitchell and Cody Walker want to play there? Like, what if they say, no, we want to go there. We want the challenge. We want to be part of the new club. What would you possibly do? How could South stand in those players' way if they're coming off contract? Of course, I don't know how that works, to be honest. So he can't openly talk with them. But it's not to say that players are working it out. There's a new club. They're cashed up. They need players. It's that simple. Nice place to live. 2023 onwards. How would you stop that? You tell me. 1300 01 1170. Cameron Munster appears to be the number one target, with Wayne Bennett declaring their origin bond can be a winning formula at the new franchise. That could be Wayne Bennett head on with the Melbourne Storm, who are pretty keen for no club to get their fingers anywhere near Cameron Munster. Meanwhile, the Telegraph reporting that Cameron Serraldo is one of the coaches in the sights of the Dolphins to work alongside Wayne Bennett. Under the deal, he would take over from Bennett once the super coach retires. That's a fair way down the track, though. I mean, it could be 3 years. That's a long apprenticeship. If you've been, like in the case of Cameron Serrato, you've already been the apprenticeship. You had that little taste of head coaching position as a caretaker coach. But man, by the time, that's very Craig Bellamy-esque. I mean, Craig Bellamy served a very long apprenticeship before he finally got a crack at Melbourne. So Cameron Serrato, if that was really to unfold, he could be waiting until 2026 to be a first grade coach. That's a long time. That's a long apprenticeship. There's a few components to it. Any move north would hinge on Ivan Cleary's plans for the future. He has 2 years left on his Penrith contract, and the Telegraph says that having climbed Rugby League's Premiership Mountain, Ivan may decide to pull up stumps at the end of 2023. There we go. Tyrone May has shut down his Instagram account after that post he published following the NRL Grand Final. The Telegraph reporting that the NRL is expected to hand down their findings today into the Panthers, including their investigation into May's post. Look, the issue here, and I had my say the morning after that post appeared. It's got a little bit to do about accountability and remorse over the crimes, and they were crimes that Tyrone May committed, pleaded guilty to, and came within an ace of being sent to prison for, according to the magistrate that handed down the verdict. Deleting the account will mean diddly squat, as far as I'm concerned, if I'm investigating what's going on and what has happened. Cricket. Now, what a game last night. Now, we did warn you there would be rain, there would be weather down in Tasmania, but last night the Sydney Sixers won with just balls to spare against the Melbourne Stars. The game got reduced to 11 overs. The play didn't get away until 9 o'clock, thanks to that weather. Alyssa Healy, an absolute star, smashed 57 off 27 deliveries, the Sixers reaching their target of 100 with four balls to spare. Tomorrow, the Renegades take on the Hurricanes at 3:40, and then the Sydney Thunder, the defending champions, do battle with the Strikers in the night game. We learned yesterday, it only came to light of something that happened the previous week. Will Pekulski battling concussion almost a week after being hit in the head again by a cricket ball. The news emerged yesterday, and it's the 10th time he's been concussed in his short career. It's again triggered concerns about his long-term health and future in the game. He'd been earmarked as David Warner's opening partner for the Ashes. Well, it has to be a technical flaw, doesn't it? I'm not the cricket expert here. But a batsman to have so many concussions, Will Pekulski, we do wish him well. In the NBA, what about this story? The Charlotte Hornets have broken the record for suffering the biggest defeat ever seen in the NBA. The Michael Jordan-owned team lost by 68 points in their final preseason game in North Carolina yesterday against the Dallas Mavericks. The final score, 127-59. That is a shellacking. Now, briefly away from sport, at 17 after 6, a big supercell of storms have wreaked havoc across the New South Wales coast, bringing large hail, heavy rain, damaging winds, lightning. In fact, the Bureau recorded 32,000 lightning strikes yesterday. You may have also seen the footage last night of shoppers being evacuated from the Westfield Mount Druitt complex after parts of the roof collapsed from the weight of the rain. If you have any stories to share about the storm, you can text me 0457 736 736. Travel from Sydney to regional areas will still be banned from Monday, even though New South Wales will reach the 80% vaccination threshold over the weekend. The government has made the decision to delay regional travel for at least a week because some areas of the state are lagging behind in the vaccination rate. I do worry about people getting out of town this weekend, I must say. Those of you who live in regional areas, I've got a feeling you're going to note a few more people in and around your town. One of the most powerful businessmen in Australian and New Zealand history, Ron Brearley, was yesterday sentenced to a maximum 14 months jail after pleading guilty to possessing tens of thousands of child sex abuse images. He was stripped of his knighthood in 2019 after police discovered the images in his possession. The 84-year-old will be eligible for parole in May 2022. Found this one interesting. Coldplay's next tour will partly be powered by a dance floor that generates electricity when fans jump up and down. They will also plant a tree for every ticket sold. It's part of a 12-point plan to cut their carbon footprint. Are they flying overseas? I'm just not sure where the tour is, but a little bit confused by all of that. Coldplay, thank you for saving the world. This is 2 years after the band announced that they wouldn't tour until they could do so in a more sustainable way. That sounds a little bit like it. There's a bit of malarkey there, but there you go. We wish them well. Good intentions, but absolutely impossible if they're going to tour overseas. A Sydney primary school has asked parents to make sure their children don't watch the popular Netflix series Squid Game because students are mimicking the games in the playground. Similar warnings have been issued by schools in Perth, the United States, Britain, Asia, Europe. The show involves contestants playing life or death versions of playground games. They really are life or death. I can't do spoiler alert on the program, but it's pretty dramatic. And this is our left field story of the morning. In fact, all hail Turkey. On this story, a 24-year-old Turkish woman who stands at just over 7 feet has been confirmed as the world's tallest living woman by Guinness World Records. Her name is Remeza Gygi. Her phenomenal height is due to a condition called Weaver syndrome, which caused accelerated growth. It was a number of years ago, 6 years ago, she was named as the tallest teenager in the world. And Guinness Book of Records obviously had her still in their phone directory. Said, we should probably go around and check her in, just give a measure up. They measured up, and she's now the tallest woman, adult woman in the world. And why I say it's big for Turkey, because they've also got the tallest man. So they've got, it's a dual record. Has that ever happened before? They've got both. They've got both record holders. The tallest bloke in the world's over 8 foot. So there you go. There's a story to finish this morning. Tall people. You can have your say here on 1170 SEN 1300 01 1170. Expecting a lot of love for Norm Provan this morning. Let's pay tribute to him. Any recollections you have, any meetings you may have had with a great man, but of course any subject to do with sport, you can come on the program. And on this Friday morning, we'd all love to back a winner this weekend. So your tips in sport and in racing, more than welcome. Text them through 0457 736 736. Ramping it up on a Friday morning at 21 after 6.